Amen. Luke chapter 18. And our text for this morning is the verse 41. The Lord Jesus addresses the blind man, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Over the past number of weeks, we have been considering Christ in the school of prayer. Our series of studies have been based upon the words of Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Where we read, "And it came to pass, as he," the Lord Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as thou also taught, as John also taught his disciples." The disciples had come upon the Lord in a certain place, as he was praying, and they had stood listening to him pray. And we're told that when he ceased, one of the disciples asked the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." Evidently, upon listening and hearing the Lord pray, the disciples realized that they knew very little about the art of prayer. You'll notice that they did not say to the Lord, "Lord, teach us how to pray." No, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It is good when the Lord's people want to know more about prayer. And no one knows more about prayer than the Savior himself. And there is none better to teach the subject of prayer than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just by way of a recap, because it all ties together, it's not just one subject here, there, and yonder, it's one following upon another. And we began by considering the Savior in prayer, because the disciples came and listened to the Lord pray. So we considered the Savior in prayer. And then they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We then considered the students of prayer. They wanted to be taught. They were students. And they wanted to be taught more about prayer. Our next message then dealt with the subject of prayer, because the disciples said to the Lord, "Teach us to pray." And Christ, we considered how he dealt with the subject. We then considered the Lord's words to his disciples whenever they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Lord answered them and said, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And there the Lord gave the disciples a pattern for prayer. Those words we know have often been described as the Lord's Prayer, but really the Lord's Prayer is John 17. And what the Lord gave the disciples that day was a pattern for prayer. In other words, they were to base every prayer of theirs upon that pattern that the Savior gave. The Lord then followed that up by giving to them a parable about prayer. About a man who came on a journey to his friend's house at midnight, and the friend had nothing to set before him. And the Lord said that the traveler kept on knocking and knocking and knocking until his friend opened the door and gave him whatever loaves he required. It was a parable. And the Lord was teaching his disciples, don't give up in prayer. But be persistent, persevere in prayer. That's what he was teaching the disciples. And then later the Lord developed the subject. And he taught his disciples and said to them, when ye pray, pray in my name. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those are tremendous words. If ye shall ask anything in my name, the Lord says, I will do it. The Lord then took it a step further. And we see something else, another lesson about prayer in the portion of Scripture we have just read. We know from Mark 10 and verse 46 that the blind man here is Bartimaeus. We considered Bartimaeus there a few weeks ago and how the Lord healed him. But the Lord taught a lesson about prayer in the healing or in giving Bartimaeus his sight. And we don't want to miss this lesson. And here we see that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, when he heard that it was the Lord Jesus who was passing by, we're told he cried out, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. But then the Lord responded to Bartimaeus and said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He had already said, Lord, have mercy on me. But then the Lord said, what wilt thou that I shall do unto you? In other words, the Lord wanted Bartimaeus to be definite about what he was asking for, what his need was. And there's another lesson that the Lord will teach us with regard being with him in the school of prayer. You see, when we come to pray, it is necessary that we are definite about what we're asking for. The Lord is teaching us here that when we pray, we are not to use general terms, but we are to be pointed and definite and specific about what we ask for. We see that and the Lord's dealing with Bartimaeus. And when the Lord said to Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Bartimaeus was then specific. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So we want to look at today, regarding the subject of prayer, being with the Lord in the school of prayer, being definite in prayer. I want us first of all this morning to consider the cry to Christ. Bartimaeus, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who passed by, he cried out to him. Cried saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 38. Here we see first of all his response. That is, his response to the news that Jesus of Nazareth was there, was passing by, where he was sitting by the wayside begging. He didn't want to miss this opportunity. The Lord was passing by. He had passed through Jericho, hadn't wrought any miracle or did any ministry in Jericho. We explained that a few weeks ago, the reason why. He was on his way to Calvary. He would not be passing by that way ever again. And Bartimaeus did not want to miss the opportunity. And so he cried out, "Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me." That was his response to the Lord being there. When you consider the first cry, because Bartimaeus cried twice. When we consider the first cry, we see it was the cry of desperation. It was the cry of desperation. You can understand that. How many of us would like to be in the position of Bartimaeus? How many of us would like to be sitting by the wayside on the dusty road with outstretched hands begging and blind? His position, his situation was desperate. And here was one whom he knew and believed could heal him, passing by at that time. And he cried out. He cried out in his desperation that the Lord would help him and heal him. Sometimes, that's the only time that we will give ourselves to earnest prayer. When we're desperate. When we have nowhere else to turn. We can come together to pray in the house of God or at home. And maybe we pray in general terms. Lord, bless my family. Bless my church. But it's different when we're desperate. When we have a particular need. And we're desperate to have that need met. Or we have a particular problem and we're desperate to have that problem solved. Now you know and I know that when we pray under those circumstances, it is indeed a cry of desperation. Turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. For there in 2 Chronicles, we read about Jehoshaphat. And the enemy has come upon him. And we read in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 2, "And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee, from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared." and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You go down in the chapter to verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What was that? That was a cry of desperation. Neither know we what to do. As far as Jehoshaphat was concerned, he was defeated already. So what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. And he cried to the Lord in desperation. Think also of Hezekiah. Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah one day, and he said to Hezekiah, Hezekiah, set thy house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. And we are told in Isaiah 38, and Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He literally cried. It was the cry of desperation. Maybe Hezekiah hadn't prayed like that before. But this time he's desperate. And the Lord answered his prayer, for we read in the verse 5, and told Isaiah, Go say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee to thy days 15 years. There's one truth that comes out of this. When Jehoshaphat prayed in desperation, the Lord heard him and answered. When Hezekiah prayed in his desperation to the Lord heard him and answered him. There's the lesson. How often do we come before the Lord and pray and cry to him in desperation? You and I know. Our praying is not just the same when everything's going well. But the moment something goes wrong, that's different. That's different. We get before the Lord, and like Hezekiah, we perhaps cry hot, bitter tears, because we're desperate for an answer. You recall when Peter got out of the boat and began walking upon the water towards Christ, the wind being boisterous. He saw the waves, and we are told that he began to sink. Peter was desperate. He was going to sink. What did he do? He cried out, Lord, save me. He didn't use eloquence of speech. He just cried out in desperation, Lord, save me. And again the Lord responded, immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. We can ask ourselves, How desperate are we when we pray to the Lord, when we come before Him at the throne of grace? How desperate are we for a move of God in our district? How desperate are we for that loved one to be saved? How desperate are we for a holier life? If we are desperate for any of those things and many others, we'll know how to pray. And we'll be definite in our praying. But then Bartimaeus cried a second time. If you look there in verse 39, "And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more." If his first cry was a cry of desperation, his second cry was the cry of determination. Bartimaeus was rebuked by the crowd for crying out to the Lord, but he cried so much the more. His determination. There we see that the blind man was not going to be silenced. He was not going to be silenced. He was desperate, and he was determined to be heard. He was determined to be helped. He was determined to be healed. Nobody was going to silence Bartimaeus. No matter how many voices united against him, Bartimaeus cried so much the more. And Satan will muster all of his forces against us in an attempt to stop you and I, believer, crying to God. What the devil wants and what Satan wants is a believer who doesn't pray. As a believer who does not give much time to prayer. Devil's happy with that. Because Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to make Satan tremble? So let us not be silenced by the rebukes of Satan. And you and I know those rebukes come in many different forms. He tells us, God doesn't hear you. Not right now. Isn't that what he's told you? No point praying. May as well stop praying. God doesn't hear you. He tells us God doesn't care. He tells us God not able to help you. That matter you're praying about, God will not be able to help you with that. He tells us you might as well give up. That's what he wants. You might as well admit defeat, and that's what he wants. Well, here's Bartimaeus. And really, the crowd was doing the devil's work. For they rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to hold his peace. But Bartimaeus, we are told, cried so much the more. There's his determination. You recall Elijah on Mount Carmel? And he prayed that it would rain. He sent his messenger, go and look toward the sea. And the messenger came back and said, there is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. Elijah didn't give up. And there his servant went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and all the time Elijah's on his knees in prayer. He was determined to get an answer. He was determined to see the rain come down. How determined are we, believer? How desperate are we for an answer? Let us not give in to the lying temptations of the devil. If we're desperate for an answer, we'll be determined then to pray on until the answer comes. As well as seeing Bartimaeus and his response, we see Bartimaeus and his reverence. When he asked about the noise of the multitude passing by, he was told Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Notice, when he was told it was Jesus of Nazareth, when Bartimaeus cried out, he didn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth. No. He cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David. Jesus of Nazareth, we know, was his name of reproach. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Bartimaeus didn't use that name. Bartimaeus used another name, the Son of David. That's the name given to Christ, recognizing him as Messiah. There's another lesson. Bartimaeus, remember, he's praying to the Lord as he sat there at the side of the road. And he cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David. Here we have a poor, blind beggar. I'm sure little or no education, an outcast of society, sitting at the roadside. Yet, he knew how to address the Lord. He did so with reverence. He wasn't going to address the Lord using the name of reproach. No, he addressed the Lord by lifting up his name and addressing him as the Son of David, as the Messiah. Many, when speaking about the Lord, are speaking to the Lord, unfortunately, they may talk about Jesus, but they never say, Lord Jesus. They ought to say, Lord Jesus. They ought to address him as Lord. For that's who he is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned Hezekiah earlier. Over in Isaiah 37. And there Rabshakeh was attacking Hezekiah. And Hezekiah went to the Lord. How did he address the Lord? How did he speak to him in prayer? Isaiah 37, verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. That's how he addressed the God to whom he was praying. He mentioned Jehoshaphat and how Jehoshaphat went to the Lord and prayed. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 20, stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, he's praying. Mark how he addresses the Lord. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's how Hezekiah, that's how Jehoshaphat prayed. That's how those men addressed the God of heaven. The Lord Jesus is the God of heaven. And we ought to address him in a reverent way. You take the one who is our supreme example, the Lord Jesus himself. And in his high priestly prayer in John 17, how did he speak to his Father? John 17, verse 11, I come to thee, Holy Father. The Lord Jesus knew how to address his heavenly Father. And if anyone could have been familiar with his Father, it was the Lord Jesus, but he wasn't. Holy Father. And that name doesn't belong to anybody else. Belongs to God alone. No wonder when the Lord taught his disciples in response to them saying, Lord, teach us to pray. He gave them the pattern prayer. And he said to them, when ye pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See? He taught them that when they prayed to their heavenly Father, they were to hallow his name. The word hallowed there means to set apart. It means to sanctify. Sanctify the name of God in your life. Sanctify the name of God in your prayers. Sanctify. His name is set apart. What does that tell us? It tells us that we do not speak to God the way we would speak to our next door neighbor. We do not speak to God the way we would speak to a member of our family or a friend. No, he's not our buddy. He's God. He's God alone. He's the maker of heaven and earth. That's what we should remember when we address him. and prayer. So we notice Bartimaeus and his response, Bartimaeus and his reverence. Then we have Bartimaeus and his request. The blind man cried out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." His plea was that the Lord would have mercy upon him. We have often prayed that prayer. The word mercy that's used here is the Greek word eleo. And the word means to feel sympathy with the misery of another. To feel sympathy with the misery of another. The father with the lunatic son came to the Lord and said, "Lord, have mercy on us." The Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord to ask the Lord to heal her daughter and said, "Have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy." Show sympathy, feel sympathy with the misery of my son, with the misery of my daughter. So when we cry to the Lord in our need, who are we crying to? We're crying, according to Paul, to the God who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, he's rich in mercy. When we cry to him and to the Lord in our desperation, what are we asking for? We're asking the Lord that he will have sympathy for us in our miserable state. That's how Bartimaeus cried, Psalm 86 and verse 5, "For thy Lord art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Plenteous in mercy. We have considered the cry unto Christ. We notice the challenge from Christ. Bartimaeus had cried out to the Lord to have mercy upon him. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said in verse 40, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him." The Savior asked Bartimaeus. The dear Savior did not ignore Bartimaeus. He didn't pass him by. It says here that Jesus stood. Matthew says he stood still. The Lord stood still when Bartimaeus cried out to him in prayer. And dear believer, the Lord will not pass us by when we cry out to him in prayer. He will stand still. He will listen to our petitions. He will listen to our prayers. He will listen to what we tell him about our problems and our needs. He'll stand still and listen. But notice how the Lord challenged Bartimaeus. He asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" Here we have, first of all, a personal challenge. We read, he asked him. The way sometimes when you're reading through the scriptures, you read maybe a familiar portion of scripture, and you see something that you hadn't noticed before, even though it's been always been there. Well, that was the case there in this portion of Scripture with me. In part of our study, we have been saying the Lord has taught us we're to ask, and you shall receive. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. And we were focusing on us asking the Lord. But what do we have here? Here we have the Lord asking Bartimaeus. It's the other way around now. And he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? It makes it very personal. And here's the Lord asking Bartimaeus. He's speaking to him personally. And he's saying to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, tell me. Tell me, Bartimaeus, what your need is. He was dealing with Bartimaeus on a personal basis. Sure, isn't that how the Lord deals with us all? He wants us to tell him about our personal woes, our personal worries, our personal weaknesses, and about our personal walk in this world. He wants us to tell him. He's asking us. He asked him, he asked Bartimaeus, tell me what your need is. And since he asks us, it's only proper that we should answer him. After all, when we do the asking, we're wanting the Lord to answer us. So the Lord asks us what our personal need is. It's only but right that we should answer him. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? There's the personal challenge. Notice also it's a particular challenge. Even though Bartimaeus was blind and he was sitting there at the side of the road begging and the multitude would have passed him by, everyone could see he was blind. Everyone could see he was a beggar. Everyone could see he was a poor soul. Yet, the Lord said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? In other words, the Lord wanted Bartimaeus to be specific. Bartimaeus had cried, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. That was sort of wide sweeping statement. Have mercy on me. And the Lord said to him, well, Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He wanted Bartimaeus to tell him exactly what he wanted. And Bartimaeus responded by saying, that I might receive my sight. See, we need to be definite in prayer. We need to be definite about what we're asking for. It's good to ask the Lord to have mercy on us, and have mercy on my family and have mercy on my church. That is good. But we need to narrow it down. We need to focus in on what our actual petition is. We need to be specific. We need to be pointed. I have an interest in the American Civil War. Anytime I'm down in Pennsylvania, I always have to visit Gettysburg. I've been there quite a number of times, and I love going around. And this time, as myself and a couple of other men went, and one of the men had purchased two CDs, and you put it into your CD player in the car, and it gives a running commentary of the battle site. And it stops at different points and tells you what happened here. And one of the points that we stopped at, the commentator, the narrator, talked about the kind of guns that were used, the rifles. And he said, first of all, there were those who used a smooth bore rifle. In other words, inside the rifle it was smooth. And apparently one of the generals had said that he could have stood there all day and people shoot at him and none of the bullets would have hit him. But then they began using a rifle bored rifle gun. In other words, it was rifled inside so the bullet would go out in a spinning motion and it would hit the target. And the commentator said a good soldier could hit a target at 300 yards. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that just like prayer? Sometimes our prayers are like the smooth bore. Go all over the place. But our prayers, as it were, need to be rifle bored. They need to hit the target. They need to be specific about what we're asking for. Narrow it down. You know what the need is in your home or your life or your family or your church. Well, then narrow it down. And pray about that one thing. And remember, pray in Jesus' name. Personal challenge, it was a particular challenge. It was a promising challenge. You take the words of the Lord to Bartimaeus, were full of promise. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What wilt thou? Ask, Bartimaeus. Ask for anything. What wilt thou? That was most promising. You see, the Lord didn't mention any limitations or any restrictions. He just said, what wilt thou? Does this not bring us back to the words that we considered a few weeks ago? We've already mentioned them, John 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So why are these words so full of promise? What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? It was as if the Lord was giving to Bartimaeus a blank check and he was telling Bartimaeus, you fill it in. I've signed it, so you just fill it in. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And the Lord has already said, whatsoever you shall ask. What does that tell us? It tells us whatever we ask for, according to the Lord's will, of course. But whatever we ask for, the Lord is able to do it. Praise the Lord. He's able to do it. Job said, I know that thou canst do everything. Would we do well to remember those words when we bow before the Lord in prayer? I know that thou canst do everything. The angel said to Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We do well to remember that too. We do well to what the Savior himself said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? All things are possible. Whatever we tell the Lord, he's able to do it. And he's asking us, tell me, and I will do it. Gee, you couldn't beat that. Tell me, and I'll do it. In the last place, and quickly, we have the charitableness of Christ. As Bartimaeus focused on what he wished the Lord to do for him, Lord, that I may receive my sight, we see first of all the answer. No sooner had the words come from the lips of Bartimaeus than we read in verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. And immediately he received his sight. Does this not teach us then that if you and I are definite, what we ask for, that the Lord will answer, that the Lord will do what we ask for? Bartimaeus was definite, that I may receive my sight. He could have asked for many other things, but he focused in on his desperate need, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. And immediately he received his sight. He received an answer. This surely teaches us that if we're definite about what we're asking for, we'll receive an answer. John 5 verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have them. He'll answer prayer. You have the answer, you have the admission. The Lord commends Bartimaeus that by saying, thy faith has saved thee. He commended Bartimaeus for his faith. You think of that. There he was sitting at the side of the road, and he believed that the one who was passing by could give him his sight. He believed that. That's what the Lord's saying. Thy faith has saved thee. Need to remember that when we come to pray. Whatsoever, need to have faith in God that he's able to do the whatsoever. So be gone, unbelief. Be gone, doubt, when we pray. For as a grain of mustard seed ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll move mountains. And we all have our mountains, and only God can remove them. But we need to have faith in God. You have the answer, you have the admission, and you have the adoration. For we read, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw, gave praise unto God. There's the adoration. Again, it brings us back to John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And surely that in itself would encourage us to pray, because we want the Father to be glorified, do we not? And when God answers prayer and answers our prayers and does what we ask, he'll receive all the glory. Bartimaeus was definite. They asked for it. Answered. Let us be definite in what we ask for. And the Lord will answer us. He has promised to do that. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving God, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the encouragements we receive from the Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Word that's able to lift us up when we're cast down. The Word's able to encourage us when we're discouraged. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy promises. They're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to take Thee at Thy word. But Thou dost say, whatsoever you shall ask, I will do it. Lord, help us to take Thee at Thy word. Lord, help us to be definite in our praying. Focus in on what our need is. And we believe we'll see the answer even as Bartimaeus did. Lord, be with us throughout this Sabbath day. Grant to everyone traveling mercy. And O Lord God, be pleased to return us to Thy house this evening. Be with Thy servant as he'll come to minister the word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.